What is up, sports fans? Welcome to Sports Odds and Ends, the show for the fly-by-night sports fans. I am one of yours, King Kaz, joined by my good friend and co-host, the one, the great JVZ. What's up, my guy?
I'm doing great. I guess let's get started.
Yeah, no, I was trying to figure out how to segue into this one, right? Some things are easier than others, but this one I think takes a little bit of explaining. So kind of been coming on the cusp of people kind of being a little bit more aware of themselves and the things around them, right? So much so that we've been talking about it for the last two years almost, about Washington having to change the name of their football team, right? To where we are now, where they kept saying no, that they would never do it, to where we are now, where they are doing it. So much so that the one thing that we always brought up, and I think we kind of all agreed that, like, it didn't really seem like a problem, but Cleveland is also contemplating a name change away from their name, which I never saw as a problem, but I guess.
I saw it as more of a problem. I mean, it's their name wasn't necessarily a racial slur. It's Indians.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of weird that your team is a race. Like, the nickname of your team is a race.
Yeah.
And honestly, that goes for, like, you know, for me, that goes for, like, the Fighting Irish. That goes for the Chicago Blackhawks or the Atlanta Braves.
The Seminoles.
The Seminoles are different just because they have a deal with the Seminole tribe.
There's a partnership there. If you don't know the history, the name is kind of, I
get that too. That the feeling is kind of weird. So in this case, there isn't that kind of partnership. And on top of that, they used to have a mascot that was a racist caricature. So they rid of that mascot a while back, acknowledging that, hey, this is, like, we recognize that this thing is racist, and now they've taken it a step further, and now they're going to change the name of the team, only because the urgency is a little bit less than with the Washington football team. They're going to keep using the Cleveland Indians name for the next year, and then while they figure out a new name. And then they're going to change the name and change the branding. They're not going to use, like, a placeholder name like the Washington football team is doing. Although, honestly, the Washington football team is starting to get pretty popular as a name.
But part of that is that
the team's having a little bit of relative success in their division this year. So I think people are starting to get behind the team a little bit. And Alex Smith, mostly, mm-hmm. just the feel-good story behind all that. So I think
part of that is also, I mean, part of that is what you said, right? It's because they're doing so well with all the things that are going on. But I do still think that it's kind of a big marketing ploy to sell a bunch of shit and then come out with a name and try to sell a bunch more shit. Like, yeah. It's good business. It's just good, you know, good, silly business. All right. What else do we have to talk about going into baseball?
I said they'd keep the name for the 2021 season, but I don't know if we're even going to have a 2021 season at this point. Mm-hmm. Because right now the MLB Players Association isn't really interested in playing a shortened season right now. They want maximum money this year for playing all of their all the games and getting their full salary after they took a big cut last year and only played 60 games and agreed to prorated salaries and had not the greatest negotiations with the owners. In fact, I don't think they were able to strike a deal at all. I think that 60 games was just what Major League Baseball decided. Or what the owners decided and what Rob Manfred decided. So this year, it seems like the players kind of want to play hardball with that. So at least all the initial reports about when the season is going to start, it looks like they're pushing back on any idea of anything less than 162 games right now. It's mid-December right now. Spring training is scheduled to start in February. Opening day is in April, so they don't have a whole lot of time to get things sorted out. But on top of that, what's kind of complicated things is the emergence of a COVID vaccine. So now any sport that's kind of starting around that time might want to delay a little bit in order to not only allow players to get vaccinated, but allow fans to get vaccinated too. And then maybe they can allow some fans into the stadium.
That scenario is still kind of really depicted to me on how well the vaccine does. And I still think we're pretty early on that level. Because there have been some complications for some of the early, like, they're not even trials at this point. Like, some of the
they're approved vaccines and they've already given some of them out. Although there's been a lot of fighting over distribution at this point, but
But I know they've given them to quite a few people, and the numbers are really low on the people who have had bad reactions to them, which is a good thing. But I still think even with that, you got to see how the field plays out in a sense with those things, because then you run the risk of having a player take it and them having some kind of complications due to the vaccine, and then them missing a series of time, not necessarily due to COVID, but just due to some kind of sickness from the vaccine. So it's one of those things where you might end up messing with your timeline even more because of just complications.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everybody is cautiously optimistic. I shouldn't say everybody. There's the usual deniers out there, I think people are cautiously optimistic, but we do have to, this is the biggest wait and see ever on this show is how is this going to play out for the next couple months? Because if all goes well, then yeah, we could be seeing fans back in the stands. We already are. There's like 30,000 people in a game in AT&T Stadium right now. But that's just people being reckless, and we might have a path forward for legitimately bringing fans back into the stadium safely.
I could tell you some people who are going to be excited if they get to watch some sports, and that's the folks over in Milwaukee.
Oh yes, business is booming for the Bucks right now because Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he had everybody a little bit worried for a second, but he finally signed his Supermax extension going into.
So he's locked in for what, five years? Yeah, 5 years starting 2021, 2022.
Yeah. So after this upcoming season this upcoming season is the last year on his contract. I forgot what he's make. Oh, wait, hold on. I have this up. He's making $27.5 million this year. And then that will immediately jump to $39 million the year after that. And then 4 more years after that, it will escalate by 8%, I think, each year. So that'll finish at $51.9 million his final year. Mm-hmm. Which will be 2025, 2026. So they have him locked down for essentially the next six seasons.
So, there's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of money. We like to talk about money. But I think for me, the thing I kind of want to go around the horn real quick, and DJM, if you have a thought, I want to hear yours as well. Outside of the very flight-like reaction did you think he was going to go anywhere?
I thought, I was always leaning towards him not leaving. I think somebody on Reddit noticed this trend, but it's basically like players from overseas seem to be much better about, well, I shouldn't say better, but much
more locked into the team that they join.
Yeah. Much readier to commit to a specific city, even a smaller city. DGM brings up loyalty. Maybe they're just more loyal to the city where they start out. So, like, I don't expect Luka Doncic to leave the Mavericks. I don't. I
don't know about that one. I mean, things go wrong enough. I think he would look. I think if he got like that real, real fire in him, and I mean Luka Doncic, I could see a possibility of him going somewhere.
Yeah, I think. I mean, there's always the possibility that a team could be badly managed, but.
Mm-hmm.
And then they piss off their star player like the Houston Rockets did. But I think I think that's less likely for a franchise like Dallas that I think everybody has kind of settled on as being one of the better run franchises, at least from a basketball perspective. We just had Rudy Gobert sign a $200 million contract extension. So like that's another quote unquote foreign player committing to a small market. So I think it almost seems like it's the players that grow up in the United States that are like, okay, I want to go play in this US city. I want to go play in this other US city because I think they might want to like move their whole families out there and they're not spending half the year, you know, living in another country.
I think that was the thing that kind of locked me in, and I think you initially said it to me, and then I was watching some stuff on ESPN, and he's such a family man, right? Like a lot of his stuff is ingrained to his family, and them signing his brother to that team and his whole family moving to Milwaukee, and his younger brother, I think, plays high school basketball there as well. Or one of his younger brothers plays high school basketball there.
I think one of his younger brothers plays for the Lakers, and then I don't know how many brothers he has, but
I think he has
he's got one with him in Milwaukee and one playing for the Lakers.
Yeah. But I think he has three total. And I think one of his younger brothers, when his family moved there, plays for one of the high schools in the Milwaukee area. So I think the thing is, right, obviously, not only do you have to... Do you have to court him with a really good contract, but then you have to be able to court his family too, right? Because like you said, for other players, right, they're going to move their families to different cities and all that. But like you said, I think and I think this kind of goes to a part of what DJM said with loyalty, is you'd have to show that passion not only for him but wanting his family there too. You know, because he's very big on that. He's very big on taking care of his family and being there for them and doing all of those things. And I think once I realized that was a key factor, I was like, oh, all these kind of mishaps that happened with the Bogdanovich thing. I was like, those are, you know, like those are problems, right? Like that was kind of a big problem,
yeah.
In not locking down a really good player to play alongside your marquee player.
But at the same time, I never figured that was enough to be a deal breaker.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was for a second.
Right.
And I did, right. Because for a lot of other players, that would be a deal breaker, right? Like, James Harden situation right now is a deal breaker based on them not, you know, getting him the players that he wants, or him not having the players that he wants, and he wants to go somewhere else where those players are. And you know, those things are factors for some people sometimes, and I think we too many times kind of blanket how players are going to react to things until we actually see what their reactions are. And it makes for really interesting things to talk about in why players make these decisions and how players make these decisions. Because you have people that are like really, really ingrained in their family and doing all those things. And you have people who are like LeBron James, who are more willing to chase the glory of it and kind of willing to, in a weird sense, right, put their family through the hardship of having to uproot and go somewhere else, so that they can be successful. And you just have people who set roots. And like you said, it does seem to kind of be a thing with foreign players to American basketball, where they're a little, they tend to set their roots, because it's bringing your whole, like a lot of times it's bringing your whole family from whatever country you were in to America. And I think when that, for the most part, when that first team kind of courts you, it's definitely them courting you and your family. Kind of very much like how we do for college football. Like college football is like courting you and your family, right? Like these college prospects go to kids' families and they're like, yeah, we're going to take care of him. We're going to make sure he has all the best and yada, yada, yada. If you've ever seen those kind of like documentaries and things like that about yeah, college football recruiting. It's crazy. But it is that, like, they will court you and your family, man, like, and make all the promises in the world. But I don't know. It's one of those things.
All right, boys,
that I just find gentlemen, interesting. What's up?
Let me throw this one at you.
Please.
JVZ, you first, because you're our resident basketball insider, our resident Zach Lowe. Let me throw this at you.
I praise.
Do you think the Milwaukee Bucks will be able to build a championship team around Giannis?
Yes.
Because as it stands right now, they are, for all intents and purposes, a championship contender. Do you think they can go all the way?
Yes. I think it will be hard, but yes, I think they can. They might have to make a few tweaks here and there, but I feel like a tweak or two, and they would have been in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I believe they lost to the Miami Heat, who eventually made it to the finals. So, so I think had they gotten past the Heat in the second round, I think they would have made it all the way to the finals. The only thing that gives me pause is that the Lakers are only getting deeper right now. And their long-term future is set. And on top of that, they're, before they were kind of studs and duds, and now they are, I feel like they have a much deeper team, than they used to. So I think this Lakers team is going to be here to stay and here to compete with. So it's Kaz, just going to be tough.
Let me throw this one at Kaz. Kaz, let me throw this one at you. Both Anthony Davis and Giannis Antetokounmpo signed 5-year extensions. Who do you think will have more titles in that 5-year window? Anthony Davis or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Davis is based on the health of LeBron. So most likely one more. So he has one already. I put a high possibility on him getting definitely one more. And the thing for the Bucks is to get the giant target off of Giannis's back. Like, if they can do that and they could get him good help, I think Giannis could catch up and get more. I think he could get at least we're talking about in the 5-year window of these current deals, right?
Yep.
So I think
right
Davis
now we'll say the 25 at the end of the 25-26 season.
Yeah, I'm not going to go super future site then. I think Giannis could get one in these 5 years, but I definitely think Anthony Davis is going to end up with at least one more than he currently has.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Like I think Giannis is getting one at most, and Davis is getting like two or three with the Lakers. It pains me to say that, but yeah, that's where I think this is headed, because at this point the Lakers are the incumbent, and unless somebody else knocks them off, then I don't see
that can do it. Because I think the other thing is we also have to look at the landscape of all the people who are going to be coming back and being healthy, right? We're going to have a healthy Steph Curry. We're going to have a healthy Kevin Durant. We're going to have a somewhat healthy what's the other player on Brooklyn?
Spencer Kyrie Dinwiddie. Irving. Spencer Dinwiddie.
Kyrie Irving. So there's going to be more challenges for people. I still kind of like the Heat. I don't think they made enough significant changes.
But they got a little bit better.
But I don't know if it's enough. You know what I mean? I don't know if at the end of the day, if it's enough. I kind of wanted to see them get another like really good big man to kind of help Bam, like kind of take a little bit of the weight off of his shoulder so he doesn't end up getting hurt in the stretch trying to play so long. But
I kind of wanted to see the Lakers get worse, but they didn't. So I think that's the biggest factor out of all this. So
story related to JVZ's pain. Over the weekend, it was reported by Shams Charania at The Athletic that the legend, Jeremy Lin, was looking to sign a G League and possibly a two-way deal with the Golden State Warriors. And I said to JVZ, I imagine he must have mixed feelings about that. But it looks as though the contractual issues fell through for the Warriors and they were not able to sign Jeremy Lin. How are you feeling about that, VZ?
Yeah, it looks like they were trying to sign him. I think they wanted to sign and waive him so that they would have first rights to use him on their G League team at the Santa Cruz Warriors. I think they are still looking to do that, but I think they have to find some other way to do that. I'm not sure what the legalities are behind getting G League players and from overseas is. So, I don't know if since he's an American born player and then went overseas, I don't know if that counts as him being an overseas player, but I think he has some contractual issues to work out with his team in China. So, I don't know. I want him to come back to the United States, and if he comes back and plays in the San Francisco Bay Area, that's great. Because that's
I was going to say he's playing a rival team of yours.
Yeah, but I mean, he's also at this point. I'm just happy for him if he can get a chance again, and this is where he grew up. So I'm always happy to see. It was the first team that gave him a shot, but it was also the first team that cut him.
He has these kind of flash. He had these flash in the pan moments like that. The Knicks runner is great. Then he kind of almost did something similar on the Rockets, I want to say, because he kind of had a good run there, too. Yeah. But it's like he's
useful in those places.
Yeah, it's just like they're weird, right? I think the Knicks thing kind of.
Carmelo got the run. Kaz, say it. Carmelo got the boo-boo face. Just go ahead and say it.
No, I am going to say it. I think that run was less magical than the one that he had for the Rockets, right? The one he had for the Rockets was kind of this flash in the pan, like a really mid-range player playing really exceptional. I think the one he had on the Knicks was a player that nobody expected showing the skill that they actually have, right? I think it was two totally different situations. And then I think what happened was you had a coach who was really mad and you had players who had chips on their shoulders. And those people came back and they were like, who's the Asian kid with the ball? And he better stop because I'm here now. And that's people like, I think that's like Carmelo was on that team. I think we had, who else was on that team that had like a big chip on their shoulder? I forget, but there was another person.
Amari Nobody Stoudemire. Wants to remember that team.
I think it was Amari Stoudemire was also on that team too, if I remember correctly.
I think he spent most of his time on the Knicks injured though.
He did, but that was one. So it was him, he got injured, and then Carmelo got injured, which is what gave way to a couple of other people to chances to play, and Jeremy Lin being one of them. And then when they came back, it was supposed to be the dynamic duo again. But you had this kid who, you know, for the most part of his career was, you know, posed as a spot-up shooter, but was more of a kind of almost like a James Harden. He needed to have the ball in his hand and be able to make that decision to play well. But he didn't have the star power to command that kind of role, you know? So it is what it is.
Yeah. I think there's this weird cognitive dissonance with Jeremy Lin because, and I think it's a stereotyping thing because people look at Jeremy Lin, see an Asian guy, and think like, oh, that must be like a smart player, but he's not that. he actually makes a lot of mistakes, makes a lot of turnovers, and he's an athletic player. He's wicked fast, mm-hmm. And that's like that's his game is being an athletic player, and that's part of what throws people off sometimes, and it's part of what made Linsanity so fun. But yeah, if you're expecting him to fall back on you know, Asian dude from Harvard, he must play a certain type of way, and no, it's he defies stereotypes in the other way, in both ways. He's not as smart as you might think he is, and he is way more athletic than you think he is, and so that makes him useful, I think, to teams. So I think that usefulness should get him a contract in the NBA. He's got NBA experience. He has a championship under his belt from playing with the Rockets. Or, sorry, not with the Rockets, the Raptors. So I don't know. If he can find a way to make it back, if he can get this his contract issues sorted out, then I'd be glad to have him back, even if it's with the Warriors organization.
But is it also, it also could weirdly be one of those things where, you know, unless he's got exceptionally better, which is possible, you know, people kind of know what to expect from him now, like you said, right? Like it's not going to surprise people as much, yeah. Because they'll know that, you know, he's a high turnover player, but has speed and he's dynamic, and they'll know how to play around that. And then it just makes it look worse, right? It's that situation where people kind of expect one thing, but everyone else in the room can read the book. So it makes that person look worse than they are. So
yeah, I mean, he's not going to surprise anybody now. But again, the Warriors wanted to sign him for their G League team. So
yeah. Yeah,
I think so he's got to work his way back up.
Yeah, it's a great way to kind of do that. But I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with that kind of situation. We'll have to see what happens with the Bucks situation as well. If they do make any other changes leading into this season, that's going to be starting in a couple days.
Oh yeah, that's right. December 23rd is Wednesday. Tuesday, December 22nd will be the start of the season. The 23rd is the first game the Kings play, so that's why I got confused.
I told you, this is going to be a weird offseason.
I mean, it didn't sneak up on us. We were ready for this, but it's still, I guess I had a busy week last week, so.
Yeah, it's weird. All right, let's talk about a little bit of college and COVID shenanigans that are going on.
Actually, before you do that, I kind of feel like we have to talk about the NBA and the NHL as kind of a package thing, since they usually play at roughly the same times of the year. Mm-hmm. So the NHL just announced their games will start. They will play a 56 game season, and that will start on Wednesday, January 13th. So if if you hear us talk about the NBA and think, well, what about the NHL? That's when hockey comes back.
Okay. I'm gonna have to take some time to figure that out and like see if I care about the Devils roster enough to lock myself in again. I think I watched all of 4 games, one of those being a playoff game, so I'm gonna try to make it to 5.
the Red Wings are in the midst of a deep rebuild, so the idea is hopefully starting to see their young draft picks start to play.
Yeah, but you guys had a dynasty for so long that everyone else is good to see you guys down and out.
It ends eventually, and now we are in the rebuild, and you hope that the kids start coming up from the AHL and what have you, and things start flourishing. So it's all good.
So I think they've reworked the divisions this year just to cut down on travel and kind of create these, not necessarily bubbles, but just these mini travel zones to limit the potential effects of COVID.
Yeah.
So check out the new division alignment for your local team if you're interested in how that's going to play out. I think, some of these arrangements are a little bit weird. I think the West is kind of just everybody who doesn't fit in another division.
Because it's not as for something like hockey, it's not as easy because they do have a few extra teams that are.
So they took all the Canadian teams and stuck them in the North Division, and so that actually makes sense because then those teams can actually play at home and they don't have to worry about crossing the border as much, and you don't have a situation like, you know, the Toronto/Tampa Bay Raptors. they don't have to do any of that. So all those Canadian, like the Canadian teams are especially important to the NHL. So, because that's Canada's national sport. So, it's best if you leave those teams where they are. Especially since they will probably be ready to have fans a lot earlier than any of the American teams. That's the one major trend that I've noticed from this restructuring, is that they actually have the Canadian teams off by themselves, insulated from the rest of America's wrath.
Is hockey like the one, like, I don't know, I guess baseball also has a couple of Canadian teams as well.
Toronto basically has, and the MLS actually has several Canadian teams.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to be like, man, is hockey like the one, like, almost international major sport we have? Okay.
And League of Legends.
Oh, goodness. I can't say bad things around here anymore. So don't get me started. Let's talk about the NCAA.
Okay, so yeah, COVID shenanigans have definitely wreaked havoc on the NCAA.
We've had, before you even go into it, this has been the thing we have been screaming from the mountaintop from day goddamn one. All right, like you force these kids to play these goddamn sports without the same incentives that you would have as a professional players. All you're going to do is create rifts and problems, because where else are they going to go? Because you made them come to these goddamn campuses to live and play games and put them around other students who are either being forced to come to these campuses to take classes, or everyone else is at home. So, like, what else are you going to do? Because if you have a COVID outbreak, guess where it is? It's on the campus where people are living and working. All right, I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, on a same side note, like, if there was any time to take a year off from college, like, I know there's a lot of pressure get through college quickly. I remember going through that experience and wanting to finish as fast as possible because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if there was any time to take a year off, if your family's rich, like, take a fucking year off. All right, let's start with the Pac-12. They had their title game, and I think it was originally scheduled for Washington versus USC, and then Washington couldn't play due to COVID, so they had to swap out Washington. But because they organized this by winner of the North Division versus winner of the South Division, the North Division had an alternate and the South Division had an alternate. So so the North Division alternate, Oregon, got to step in and play the game, even though the South Division alternate, Colorado, probably had a legitimate case to do so as well. So Oregon ended up winning the game. So it's maybe that's justification for them being in the game. But also Colorado basically did not have a chance at all for this. So that's kind of a weird mess that everybody will look back in a couple years and wonder, okay, why did they make that decision? The Frisco Bowl, which the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl has, which I think normally has two Texas teams playing each other. I forgot what the actual criteria is, but Southern Methodist University and the University of Texas at San Antonio were scheduled to play in that game. Southern Methodist has a COVID outbreak, or at least a positive test, and they're at this point they're unable to contact trace and limit the potential spread. So they couldn't play. UTSA will now play in the ServPro First Responder Bowl on December 26th instead. They really just have too many bowl games. Let's see, Sun Belt Conference Championship game. That's also been canceled. And the two teams, Louisiana, number 19 Louisiana and number 12 Coastal Carolina, have been named co-champions of the Sun Belt Conference. I guess neither team was in, neither team's in the running for a playoff spot. So that's fine. Just name them co-champions and move on with life.
Yeah, but you know, people can't. They get so wrapped up in those things, and they want someone to be a winner and someone to be a loser.
This will show our age, but back when we were kids, I remember Michigan and Nebraska being named co-champions because instead of actually having the teams play each other, they just voted, and that was it. That's who determined the national champions. And so at least, A, this is only a conference championship, so it's not that big a deal. Everybody recognizes why we couldn't play the games, but, you know, maybe all the games should have just been canceled from the beginning and some of this could have been avoided. But there's too much money at stake. Money at stake is one of the reasons why the Rose Bowl semifinal game has been moved out of the Rose Bowl and all the way to AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. As I just mentioned, currently there's 30,000 people at that stadium right now watching a Cowboys game. And so that, I guess they're just not worried about it over there. Yeah. So that, you know, meanwhile in California, Southern California hospitals are at 0% ICU capacity. So they definitely weren't getting an exception to play with fans at the Rose Bowl, in Los Angeles. So yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm not very optimistic about what the result is going to be after, after we get another 30,000 people into that stadium for a college game. I mean, basically college games all year. I've seen fans just packing the stands and it can't be good for disease control.
No, it's not. I mean, like, it's just, you know, like this is that problem we talked about, right? These are people like either valuing a dollar more or just wanting to play pretend, like, and act like things aren't bad. And just like, you know, it doesn't affect us the way it's affecting them kind of situations. And it's like, no, it does. I think it definitely does. I think you should take these things just as serious as everyone else does. But some people just don't want to. Like,
yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see how bad it gets. But it's, you know, things are getting worse right now, and it's probably going to continue to get worse before it gets better. So everybody stay safe out there, because, you know, it would suck really bad to catch COVID and die right now while there's a vaccine that is pretty close to, you know, you only have to wait this out a couple more months. All right. Now on to some lighter news with broadcasting. I like both of these stories because it shows the NFL trying to get a little bit more creative, and maybe not necessarily the NFL, but the broadcast networks trying to get a little bit more creative. Mm-hmm. So Disney gets one wild card game this year in the playoffs, and so they are going to try things differently. Normally, this game would be on ESPN or on ABC. And so now they're going to spread it instead across five different networks at the same time. And they're going to do, I think, four different presentations, the main one being on ESPN and ABC, but then ESPN Deportes gets their own kind of Spanish language production. I think it was just a translation, but now I think they're going to have like their own full crew and everything, like a different sideline crew, and like a whole different experience for Spanish language speakers. And then ESPN2 is going to do something different. I'm not sure what they're going to do there. But then also Freeform, which is their Disney-oriented channel aimed at teens and young adults, is going to have their own broadcast. So last year we had kind of the Nickelodeon broadcast and aimed at kids. And so I think Disney is going to try to do that as well. So get the kids while they're young and feed them into their NFL pipeline so that they can grow up to watch ESPN.
Yeah.
Since I mentioned Nickelodeon, they are going to, I think they had some success last year with their broadcast, and now they're going to ramp things up this year by a lot. So like all the stuff that we joked about that they were going to do last year with like slime and stuff, they're actually going to do it this year. You know, when players score in the end zone, then they're going to have like augmented reality slime, or they're going to do, filters on players' faces when they look into the camera, or special things that are like, you know, your kid friendly things. And honestly, some of this stuff does sound, you know, super like, oh, this is what kids like. Let's try this out because this is what kids do, right? And, these are quote unquote wacky or zany things that they think are going to appeal to kids. And I don't know how many of these people have kids or have play tested any of these things, because I'm not sure how well they'll work, but at the same time, I'm glad they're trying. They're making an attempt. They're going to have the SpongeBob Sports Pants Countdown Special hosted by Von Miller as a pregame show and a sneak peek of the new SpongeBob movie that's coming out sometime soon at halftime. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a reason for kids to tune in and maybe learn about football in the meantime. On top of that, some of the ads are going to be tailored to kids and, you know, cartoonish touchdown celebrations. One of the other cool things that I think they're doing along with this is they launched a website called NFL Nick Play. So they're treating this as kind of an interactive opportunity to reach some of these kids and have them learn about football. So they're going to, like, you know, they've got quizzes and stuff on there about, like, different positions in the game. So
quizzes, little games, things yeah. like that. But there are also prizes.
Yeah. So some people are raising the alarm a little bit about, you know, whether this is, like, priming these kids for gambling, which to me, as somebody that doesn't worry too much about gambling, it's hard for me to worry that much about it. Because I played a lot of this stuff as a kid, and it's
a mentality thing, but I do think I don't know if this particularly is right. I think this is just gamification, period. I don't think it's necessarily gamification to the point of trying to get kids into the sense of gambling. I think sometimes there's just gamification for gamification's sake.
I think there's plenty of other places where they can get that gamification as well besides
all right, boys.
So I'm not that worried.
All right, boys. I can't let this go without saying that I went to the NFLNickPlay.com website and while scrolling through it, I found what appears to be one of the trivia questions. So, Kaz, I'll pose to you. This one goes to Kaz. Which defensive position group usually lines up directly across from the offensive line?
The D line?
That is correct.
All right. So those are the kinds of questions that we can... Yeah. I mean, so that was all the stuff that I had to learn just by, like...
Osmosis.
Either osmosis or bugging my dad
This is something that I've always wondered about because football, American football, is so entrenched into our culture and our society. But I've done this a few times. I've asked on Twitter and on social media for people to explain the rules of American football. And because it is so deeply entrenched in our society that people have a very hard time with it. Now, JVZ, here's another trivia question for you.
All right.
Multiple choice. Which is not a position on the offensive line?
All right.
Left tackle, left guard, right back, center.
Right back. That is
correct.
Soccer position.
That is correct. All right, carry on.
No, or... but I mean that goes to show, right? This is it's gamification, but it's gamification that it's at least or somewhat education. Tailored to the sport, right? Yeah, yeah. Educational gamification, right? Because like you said, it could become something that we've talked about this a lot of times, right? Like a lot of sports are. Like the one thing sometimes either the state you live in or the family you have passes down to you. That's your first place. And now with a lot of pseudo education things, sometimes you're not really sure how to explain these things or sometimes, like you said, your parent might not want to. So this gives a way to have the kid enjoy it. And something that is also interactive, right? You can kind of teach your kid the sport while not knowing anything about the sport yourself. And it gives a sense of the kid has their way to interact with the sport where you have your way to interact with the sport. So I don't know. It's interesting.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, so times are different now. because there's kind of content everywhere. Right now, I would say YouTube is the place where if somebody told me they want to learn about football, I would say go to YouTube or play Madden. And
yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's, there's no like great places to like ease somebody in aside from the odd YouTube channel every once in a while. And some of those do a great job, but they're not like TV level productions. You know, we grew, like, we're all roughly the same age here, but like we grew up with a lot of sports centric content on Nickelodeon, I feel like, with all the game shows that they had. And I'm not necessarily like, obviously there was Double Dare and stuff and Legends of the Hidden Temple where that like required a lot of athleticism to compete. But like there's also, you know, Wild and Crazy Kids and a couple, Nickelodeon Guts was very sports centric. Mm-hmm. Like there, we had a lot of things on TV that were like, you know, go play sports and be active.
There was also, back in the day, a lot of very kid-centric pro sports programming. Best example being NBA Inside Stuff. I'm sure the NFL had something. There was This Week in Baseball. You really don't see that much of that anymore just because internet. But it's definitely a thing that can be done.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing that was done a lot. That now that JB says that, like, I think about that, right? There were a lot more of these shows and in these places, like Nickelodeon being one of them, where like they had a lot of sports personalities on these like kid friendly shows showing off the thing that they did, which was sports, because it was all about, you know, watch the program, but also maybe go out and play baseball with your friends, you know, like go out, play some stickball, go out and play some touch football thing, all these kind of things that like now a lot of other people our age go to seek out and do, right? There's a lot of rec leagues for these things because of that activity of like wanting to just kind of go out and play, you know, sensibility. So yeah, I think it's kind of a way of bringing it around and finding a way to introduce it to a newer generation than how they introduced it to us.
I don't know if the Nickelodeon Games and Sports channel still exists, but I feel like there is still a market for a kids version of ESPN out there. Like,
yeah.
if ESPN wants to add a ninth channel, then let's make it a kid-centric one, and let's aim it towards introducing kids to these sports, even football, especially football, since it's hard as fucking shit to learn, and I don't know how anybody actually manages to pick it up and actually understand the rules of this complicated ass game when the rest of us still can't figure out what a catch is. it's like, you know, there's a pretty big gap for this, and I think it'll be good for all these sports out there to kind of have an opportunity to reach some of these kids and say, hey, this sport is fun, here's how it works, come play it, and here's like all the local places that you can go to get involved in this sport yourself. And you know, it would be good for recruiting because, you know, if you want your sport to survive, you need to have kids that want to continue playing this sport. And this is a pipeline for the future. I think anybody in sports media or in working in the sports themselves or shows like us that rely on these things to exist for content will benefit from having kid-centric sports content out there. So I'm glad that both Disney and Viacom are looking to ramp that up for their NFL broadcasts. Even if it does mean more kids might be getting into the football pipeline and getting concussions later on.
Hey, we're working on that. One thing at a time.
All right. on that note, thank you all for listening to the show. If you're kids out there, thank you guys especially for being part of the future of sports. Head on over to sportsoddsandends.com to check out all of our show notes. patreon.com/sportsoddsandends if you're not kids and you have money to spend. Thank you to those of you who do. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at JVZ. Kaz is at King Kaz. DJM is at Call Me DJM. Don't hit us up if you're kids, because we have not the most kid-friendly language on our Twitter feeds. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.